This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, I'm Sharad Kutin. With me, Kusichuang, that's what I was going to say, Brian Fernandez. And we have Dalian Wonder and FGV in our crosshairs. How do we begin with the story? Because what it seems like, Brian, is that we have yet another high-profile Chinese businessman falling foul of the Chinese authorities, and this time they're cutting off funding for billionaire Wang Jialian of Dalian Wonder Group after concluding that his conglomerate has breached restrictions on overseas investments. Why do you think this has come, the timing of it?
Well, it's part of a broader picture, really, of deleveraging and reducing capital outflows out of China. Now, Wang Jianling is a very important figure. He's well known. He's the second richest man in China. He has gone on an acquisition spree around the world and built up essentially the world's largest property developer as well as the world's largest cinema chain operator. So he's gone around and done this around the world. Four out of his six overseas deals are now being restricted in terms of being completion. So the Wonder Group is barred from selling assets on any entertainment investments to any local Chinese companies as well. So again, it's not a case where another Chinese company can go and acquire these overseas assets. And all of this is really about preventing capital from leaving China.
Yeah, exactly. The Chinese banking regulatory commissions have expressed concerns that some of these corporations, which have been on the big M&A spending spree the last couple of years, has really precipitated huge debt levels on their balance sheet, which is obviously going to pose a big systemic risk to the system if they so default. And it's not just been Dalian Wonder, it's been people like H&A Group, Fosun, Anbang. They've been buying stuff like Club Med, AC Milan, Atletico Madrid, you know, big consumer brands all over the world. And I think it's part of a, you know, kind of like a reason, kind of like a push to also buy revenues because at home growth is slowing. But it's come at a big cost to their banking system.
But you see, the thing is, it's not just buying revenues, Chuang, it's also buying brands. So as Chinese companies realize that the consumer is the next growth wave for them, they're going out and buying these global brands, which they will then own and build. It's much cheaper to acquire and easier than to build up their own local brands. So I think that's also a theme that was quite prevalent over the last couple of years. And we just had an interview with the Volvo MD in Malaysia, and that's an example of a successful Chinese deal that is now paying dividends for Geely.
Yeah, I wonder, when we look at the story, right, there seems to be two parts, right? What is the role of government? Should government intervene at the level of enterprises making business decisions that they think is best for them? Or should they only be restricted to perhaps being concerned about the financial architecture and making sure that the collective decisions of all these different enterprises doesn't lead to systemic risks?
So this morning you cited the name of a Sri Lankan academic, this individual named Chamath Palihapitiya.
He's not actually he's a venture capitalist.
He's a
venture capitalist who worked with Facebook, and he's Sri Lankan born, Canadian bred, I believe American now,
with a Chinese wife.
He
sounds like Russell Peters
or Mark Zuckerberg.
He has a view on the role of government in business. He cites, and I quote him, thanks to you, Sharad, for sending me this comment, the US government is, quote unquote, completely useless. He adds, if the government shuts down, nothing happens, or we all move on because it just doesn't matter. Stasis in the government is actually good for all of us. It means they can neither do anything semi-useful nor anything really stupid.
But that's the US, where there's a disconnect.
There are walls in between business and government.
What about China? And so the question is, now the Chinese government is not just looking at the financial architecture. I think that everybody would assume is their responsibility. But they're also intervening at the level of enterprises, aren't they?
But this is also to safeguard the system from systemic risk of collapse because of all these the loans within the economy itself, both for domestic enterprises as well as foreign investment by large Chinese conglomerates. There is a systemic risk potentially, which foreign analysts have been alluding to for a long, long time. And I think this clampdown is really part of that whole de-risking and de-leveraging strategy, which also has a political dimension, because we're going to have the 19th Communist Party Congress later this year. And Xi Jinping is going to be, well, should be re-elected for the second term. For his second term.
Xi Jinping, a.k.a. Winnie the Pooh.
Funny you should mention politics, Brian, because there are repercussions here. Where everywhere the Chinese largesse has bent they're spending their money, and because China is doing a lot of business with Malaysia, it has been our biggest trading partner for at least the last 10 years, and we've seen all kinds of deals being struck, most notably the 49% being sold of Proton to Geely. Now the thing is, with Bandar Malaysia, which is one of the Prime Minister's blue-eyed projects, having earlier terminated the China Railway Engineering Corporation, to be said to be replaced by Dalian Wanda. I wonder, no pun intended, I wonder what's going to happen with Bandar Malaysia.
Yeah, besides that also, even looking at Iskandar Malaysia, another big growth project for Malaysia, and the Chinese developer Country Garden, their Forest City project was initially targeted really at mainland Chinese investors who would come in under Malaysia's Malaysia My Second Home, long-term visa stays, and its proximity to Singapore being the main attractions for it. However, since its clampdown, they've turned their attention towards buyers within Malaysia itself. They've opened large offices. They've closed many of their Chinese sales offices. In fact, most of them have been shut. And they've opened lots of regional offices across ASEAN to try to sell these properties.
We had those stories already, some months ago about this. Also, unhappiness on the part of the buyers who, having put down some sort of deposit, are not getting a full refund because they're unable to complete the transaction. Yeah, and of course, if you kind of read the political news around Forest City, there was some concern. I think Dr. Mahathir Mohamad raised the question of changing demographics in the state of Johor. being kind of in a somewhat alarmist mode that way. But does this mean the end of these projects? Will we see these projects just become empty, hollow sculptures to a failed idea about Chinese investments overseas?
I think ebbs and flows. At this point of time, I think everyone's taking a breather. 3 years ago, it was just Boomtown Charlie for places like Iskandar, Malaysia. But I think the long-term fundamentals are there. If you look at Johor Bahru, and we use Johor Bahru, I'm a Johor Bahru boy, as a proximity to Singapore, and you think of Hong Kong and Shenzhen, really that potential has always been there. And all these investments are really geared towards realizing the potential. There is still a lot of industrial investment in Johor. And I think that will translate to further growth after this breather.
I have been to Johor, actually. I've been to JB. I've been down the coastline, that new road all the way to Iskandar. And it's quite staggering because all these developments, all these malls, all these condos, all these high-rise buildings, they're all like sentinels. And everybody is there. Tropicana is there. Country Garden is there. All the big players are there. And they're all facing Singapore. It's quite uncanny. It's like all these soldiers, all these sentinels just waiting for customers from Singapore. They're not facing JB. They're facing Singapore. It's quite uncanny.
Okay. We also have in the news FGV, because FGV in the news for issues around corporate governance, the face-off between Tan Sri Samad Issa and, of course, also Zakaria. Samad Issa before, right?
Issa Samad.
So Issa Samad and Zakaria Arshad, because levels that have been resolved. But we also have another dimension to FGV's problems, and this has to do with foreign workers. Because apparently the shortage of foreign workers is costing FGV as much as 2 million ringgit a day in losses, according to Tan Sri Sulaiman Mahbub, the acting chairman of Felder Global Ventures.
So there are three concerns. And of course, Tan Sri Sulaiman Mahbub, the chairman of Felder Global Ventures, was in the news yesterday. He was talking to reporters. There are three issues facing FGV now. Number one, the labour shortage, basically not able to get enough workers to man the estates there. They've got something like 440,000 combined hectareage in Indonesia and Malaysia. The second thing that they are concerned about is the fact that there's the tree profiles, which are you know, old and therefore not yielding as many fruit bunches as they should be. And of course, the third concern is governance. We all know that there's been all kinds of corporate governance transgressions at FGV the last 5 years since they were listed.
Yeah, so if you just look at the operating business itself, and you raised a very interesting question about the tree, the age of the trees. If you look at FGV's profile and the economics of the oil palm business is basically the prime years are basically between the ninth year and the 20th year, prime year of production. FGV, it's 17% of their total trees. But in United Plantations, which is a gold standard in terms of local plantation owners, it's 38%. Now, older trees, which are 20 years and above, which are basically in decline and the yields are very, very low, FGV's current acreage is 40% of that. For United Plantations, it's only 13%. And that reflects also, therefore, in the how the market values these two businesses. United Plantations, with about a tenth of the acreage of FGV, is valued at $5.6 billion.
Exactly the same, give or take a couple of million ringgit, than FGV.
Absolutely.
So it's, you know, unlike some things like banks and other things, size doesn't always matter, or nor does contiguity.
Absolutely.
So it's all about yields and efficiency, you see, Sharad.
Fascinating.
I'm sure you know a lot about all this.
I do. And, you know, we actually had a discussion with P. Gunasegaram about the demerger of Sime Darby. Remember, we talked about the particular logic behind plantations, contiguity being actually very important for economies of scale for plantations. But that's a bigger discussion. We're going to be back after the news coming up shortly with the opening numbers in the stock market and more analysis. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.